reprobate mind continues. Murder and rampage. Yes, this is Lou Caravelli. Elizabeth Cupid Caravelli and I are bringing you the Divided Kingdom radio program that can be heard on WWCR, both at WWCR.com and their worldwide shortwave. Plus, these other listening venues. Liberty Works Radio, that is LWRN.net, Global Star, and KStarTalkRadio.com. Check their websites for listening schedule information. First, Emergency War Danger Alert. Headlines at WorldNet Daily, January 25th. NATO deploys jets, aircraft carriers to Eastern Europe. First U.S. shipment arrives in Ukraine. 100 tons of lethal military aid intended as a bulwark against Russia. UK warns Russia plotting to invade Ukraine and install puppet leader. Biden puts 8,500 U.S. troops on alert, and he gropes toward a Russia policy. Now from the Western Journal, hear the warning from great patriot General Michael Flynn. Listen carefully. Exclusive from General Flynn, Biden might get hundreds of millions killed over Ukraine. January 24th, 2022. By Michael Flynn. A remarkable failure of meaningful reporting about the massive military buildup in and around Ukraine in recent weeks results in most Americans having no idea how close we are. We have been brought to armed conflict with the Russian Federation. Even those Americans who have sought out news about Ukraine can do little more than watch from the sidelines as those currently leading our nation inch us toward a potential catastrophe. Although war is the most consequential decision that a nation can make, the people are rarely consulted by the elites, who are largely immunized from the consequences of their actions. If the people were actually consulted, wars would be rare events indeed. The rhetoric about the Ukraine conflict is out of control. President Joe Biden threatens that Russia would, quote, pay a heavy price, unquote, for any incursion into Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken warns of, quote, massive consequences, unquote, for Russia. Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi told Fox News Neil Cavuto, we don't rule out first use nuclear action rhetoric is not only extremely dangerous, but these types of nonsensical remarks also threaten the stability of the entire world. Policy wonks throw around the phrase failure of imagination when it comes to intelligence community failures. The entire Biden administration, along with the neocon defense and foreign policy think tanks in Washington, are failing to imagine the consequences of the dangers lurking in Eastern Europe currently. War is not fair and is not meant to be. In fact, harking back to the failures in Afghanistan during a recent State Department call, the following was stated, quote, given that the president has said military action by Russia could come at any time, the U.S. government will not be in a position to evacuate U.S. citizens. So U.S. citizens currently present in Ukraine should plan accordingly, unquote. A stunning statement of failure. We are again living out the maxim that truth is the first casualty of war. If the people are to have a chance to stop a conflagration, the first step is to resist the propaganda barrage from the establishment media and learn the truth. Only then can we demand our government stop beating the drums of war. The Biden administration wants us to believe that Russia is seeking to regain its former greatness by overthrowing the government of Volodymyr Zelensky and replacing it with a puppet government that it would control. The neocon-dominated establishment and both of our political parties wants us to believe that the Soviet Union still exists and is inherently expansionary. Just as the nation was sold a hoax about Russia having elected President Donald Trump in 2016, another illusion now is being sold. Do not believe a word of it.
And General Flynn continues, Russia has explained repeatedly it has one core concern, Ukraine being admitted into the NATO military alliance. Responding to the buildup, a Russian official explained it in a TASS article. Quote, we are alarmed by reports some member countries of NATO have stepped up the deployment of lethal weapons and military personnel to Ukraine, end of quote. And if Ukraine were admitted into NATO, with its strategic location, Russia knows that NATO and the U.S. could place missiles literally on its border, creating an existential threat to Russia. While Russia's concern is obvious, the Biden administration has never even tried to explain the existence of any vital national interest of the United States in Ukraine that could justify hostilities. For his part, Blinken has asserted the principle that Ukraine must have the right to join NATO and claimed that principle could never be compromised. The Russians understand that would likely result in nuclear weapons being placed at its doorstep, closer to Russia than Cuba is to the United States. It should be obvious that there is no equivalency of interest here. None. NATO was established to preserve the peace, and it would be a tragedy of immense proportions if its threatened eastern expansion would become the principal cause of a devastating war. Let's put the current conflict into a historical context. If President John Kennedy was justified in risking war to prevent nuclear missiles from being installed in Cuba in 1961, then why exactly is Russian President Vladimir Putin being reckless in risking war to prevent NATO weapons from being installed in Ukraine in 2022? Would any great nation allow the development of such a threat on its border? The world could have been thrown into war in October 1962 if Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev had not been willing to take into consideration the non-negotiable position that Kennedy was taking. Kennedy promised not to invade Cuba, and he later reciprocated Khrushchev's action by removing U.S. Jupiter missiles from Turkey. Both great nations acted responsibly, and the Cuban Missile Crisis ended peacefully. The events of October 1962 remind us that there are great principles that govern how great nations must treat each other to preserve the peace. Part of my training, and of course this is General Michael Flynn, as an Army officer was to study the Law of Nations by Emer de Vattel. This historic work was instrumental in guiding the founders of our nation as it declared independence from England and charted our own course in the world. It takes principles of natural law and applies those principles to nations. It is a remarkable book. Two of the principles set out in that book are of critical importance right now, and our foreign policy masters need reminding from time to time of these principles. First, every nation has a right to prevent other nations from obstructing her preservation, that is, to preserve herself from all injuries, called the right to security. It is safest to prevent the evil when it can be prevented. This principle is the basis for the Monroe Doctrine and was exactly Kennedy's response to the threat of Russian missiles in Cuba. Second, every nation is obliged to cultivate the friendship of other nations and carefully to avoid whatever might kindle their enmity against her. De Vattel then added, wise and prudent nations often pursue this line of conduct from views of direct and present interest. A more noble, more general, and less direct interest is too rarely the motive of politicians. All parties involved must seek to re-identify and apply those natural law principles to the current crisis before the world slips off into the abyss. While politicians generally double down on overblown rhetoric, there is still hope statesmen will arise, act responsibly, and preserve the peace.
The United States and the Russian Federation are great nations. However, these great nations each have thousands of nuclear weapons that could kill hundreds of millions. With those as the stakes, it would be wise for Biden and Blinken to listen to what Putin is saying and consider why Russia believes its vital national interests are at risk. If the United States has no comparable national interest to that of Russia, that should be the basis for de-escalation. My strongest recommendation for consideration by those deciding the potential fate of humanity is to listen again to something George Washington, our first president, said about politics and war. Quote, "Be honest and just ourselves and too exactive from others, meddling as little as possible in their affairs when ours are not involved. If this maxim was generally accepted, wars would cease." Unquote. I am not Pollyannish that war will forever cease. I am by nature a warrior. I do believe, however, from time to time, to be a nation at peace, we must return to our faith and our forefathers to remind ourselves what the real consequences of wars cause. War is not fair. It is not meant to be. And a looming war with Russia would be anything but fair. Take that to the bank, if you can find one, after a nuclear exchange.
And Lou Caverly, we are in great admiration of General Michael Flynn. He paid a great price to stand for his principles. And this program, DividedKingdomRadio.com, is our website, is coming to you because we are struggling to stay on the air, and we thank just one or two of you who have just helped us. We thank you from our deepest hearts. And if you would like to send some cash, a money order, some postal stamps, or if you write a check, at this time it would be best written out to WWCR. You can send it to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland 21609. And with this breaking news, there's more breaking news, and this is a strange little macabre happening, but perhaps God was the whistleblower here. He wants us to be ready for what may be coming down the pike. The Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, January 25th, 2022. Update. Pennsylvania woman who came in contact with CDC monkeys after crash is experiencing cold-like symptoms, pink eye, and a cough. As reported earlier, a truck and trailer carrying about 100 monkeys collided with a dump truck Friday afternoon along Route 54 just off Interstate 80 near Danville, Pennsylvania. Three monkeys escaped the crash. The monkeys were later reportedly humanely euthanized. The CDC is now monitoring local residents for cold-like symptoms. That's very comforting, considering the lab leak from Wuhan that just destroyed the global economy. The monkeys are originally from Mauritius. How do we pronounce that, Lou?
Well, I always said Mauritius, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. An island country off the African coast. Now, the woman who came in contact with the monkeys says she is experiencing symptoms and has pink eye and a cough. Michelle Fallon says one of the monkeys hissed at her at the crash site via her Facebook page. Now she's sick. Harrisburg 100 reported, Michelle Fallon is living a nightmare, and she's ready to put that nightmare on record. The Danville woman is now experiencing symptoms believed to be related to her close encounter with wild monkeys when the trailer they were riding in collided with a dump truck and unloaded their cages all over Route 54, close to 180, I-80, on Friday afternoon. The monkeys were destined for an unidentified Centers for Disease Control lab in the Midwest. Oh, boy, the CDC here, the CDC everywhere, Lou.
That's right. They seem to be all over.
Like the all-seeing eye of Horus.
Yes.
Back to the article. The following day, Fallon developed a cough and something that resembled pink eye. And by Sunday, she was visiting the Geisinger Medical Center emergency room. I think that might be in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm interjecting there, Lou. Where infectious disease doctors were consulted. Fallon has since received her first of four preventative rabies shots, as well as a prescription for a 14-day course of valacyclovir. The stay-at-home mom, who shared that she was fully vaccinated and received her booster, was also tested for COVID, but the results at the ER were negative. Fallon is still processing the sequence of events that unfolded on Friday. She pulled over to check on the condition of the accident victims, but she said they were more concerned about press coverage of the incident. Oh, Lou, yes, we've got to cover this one up, if we ever were going to cover anything up.
That's for sure.
The driver, back to the article, of the truck hauling the monkeys, identified in a press release from PA State Police as Cody M. Brooks, 31, of Keystone Heights, Florida, even went so far as to put his hand in the camera of a local Press Enterprise reporter. He was very, very upset, said Fallon. He was in a panic. Brooks' passenger, Daniel D. Adkins, 59, of Flora Home, Florida, required transport to Geisinger Medical Center for an injury.
And that is just the tip of the NIH iceberg. The NWO never stops planning for our future. Here's the next headline. The NIH is funding a new animal experiment center in Texas to develop vaccines for Ebola. When will the next lab leak go down? This is by Lance D. Johnson, Tuesday, January 25th, Natural News. Not coincidentally, a genetic sequence for a coronavirus spike protein was already prepared for mRNA vaccine deployment before the World Health Organization declared a worldwide pandemic. Now, the NIH is funding a new animal experiment center in Texas to develop a vaccine for Ebola and other viruses. Will Texas be ground zero for future Ebola pandemic? The Texas Biomedical Research Institute, Texas Biomed for short, and the Southwest National Primate Research Center are being supported by the National Institutes of Health, Office of Research Infrastructure Programs, via, and this is a code number, P51-0D0-11133. The project is also supported by a $4 million grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration. The Animal Experiment Center will be completed in 2023. It will span 200 acres and include four buildings that can house up to 800 primates. The center will be used to develop new diagnostic panels for a variety of viruses, including but not limited to tuberculosis, HIV, COVID-19, and Ebola. The Animal Experiment Center will also develop new vaccines to preempt future outbreaks. How many animals will die at this facility to create new vaccines? And how many future lab leaks, whether intentional or unintentional, will eventually put immune-compromised, over-vaccinated humans at risk?
One wonders, and we can remind our listeners that we have quite a good bit of cutting-edge information in our essays on our website at DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com, and you just go there to Breaking News, and then you hit again a second time, Breaking News, and you will see our most current essay, which is our dialogue for tonight, a little later, our Country Roads, a very important dialogue. But if you go back and look at the essays Lou and I did, starting around November 12th on through, you'll see that we were quoting a medical researcher who had found there were fragments of possible preparatory items, like for Marburg, and I think perhaps Ebola. There were things put in the shots, the COVID clot shots, that maybe were like those fragments of HIV a little bit. Anyway, they aren't there for nothing, Lou. There's some
strange reason.
So we're just thinking now with this animal refuge, to put a dark spin on whatever it is, the research mentioned Ebola. So strange. Now, Lou, all the tentacles of the swamp creatures surround and support each other, especially to hide the role of American CIA and other intelligence agencies. So here we have Tuesday, Natural News, January 25th, naturalnews.com. Gain-of-function researcher Peter Daszak accused of being CIA asset. EcoHealth Alliance described as front for agency. Dr. Andrew Huff, vice president of EcoHealth Alliance, is claiming that the firm's president, Dr. Peter Daszak, who helped fund dangerous gain-of-function research at China's Wuhan Institute of Virology, told him that he works for this Central Intelligence Agency and that the company is a front for the CIA. According to a report detailed on Substack by an independent journalist called Kanakoa, Huff earned his Ph.D. in environmental health with a specialty in emerging diseases before he became associate vice president of EcoHealth Alliance. While working for the firm, he says he was tasked with finding novel methods of biosurveillance, data analysis, and visualization for disease detection. The company, which is led by Daszak, receives funding from a number of U.S. government agencies, including the National Institutes of Health, NIH, and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is led by Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci. EcoHealth Alliance, Kanakoa notes, partnered with Dr. Ralph Barrick of the University of North Carolina, as well as Dr. Shi Zhengli of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, to conduct gain-of-function research on bat-borne viruses found in China before the COVID-19 pandemic initially began. The report said that Daszak led the screening of, quote, thousands of bat samples for novel coronaviruses, end of quote, which also involved, quote, screening people who work with live animals, end of quote. These new revelations add to the growing body of evidence that COVID-19 was created at the Wuhan lab and either escaped somehow or was developed as a bioweapon and intentionally released, likely to occupy then President Donald Trump with something other than continuing to punish China with tariffs in a bid to level the playing field when it came to bilateral trade. But Daszak, of course, vehemently denies that's where COVID came from or that he was involved in gain-of-function research. In a Twitter thread posted earlier this month, Huff noted, "For the record, in 2015, Dr. Peter Daszak stopped me as we were leaving work late at night and asked me if he should work with the CIA. I was shocked, given my experience in security. Over the next 2 months, he gave me updates on three separate occasions about his work with the CIA. When he asked me the question, I stated, Peter, it never hurts to talk with them, and there could potentially be money in it. Meanwhile, I was cringing that he told me this in a non-classified setting to a person that was not read in and to an uncleared person, me. Then, over the next 2 months at the break area, while getting coffee, or between meetings, he stated that they were interested in the places that we were working, the people involved, the data we were collecting, and that the work with them was proceeding.
He then said that he believes EcoHealth Alliance is actually a, quote, CIA front organization, unquote, that was being utilized for intelligence gathering by the U.S. government. Looking back, I now believe that EcoHealth Alliance was a CIA front organization to collect viral samples and to collect intelligence on foreign laboratory capacity. There was no way that the data collected or the models being developed could predict transmission or pandemics. Contextually, EcoHealth was barely solvent, and it was commonplace to lay off employees with the ebb and flow of federal and private funding. Peter would do anything or say anything to obtain funding. Intelligence organizations often target people in financial distress. Continuing, Huff said he initially had doubts about Daszak's claims, but later came to accept them as fact. From the CIA's perspective, it was a great plan, in my opinion. These are in the words of Huff. It was a great plan, in my opinion, if what Peter Daszak said was true. Since it was commonplace for Peter to lie, I didn't necessarily believe him when he told me. However, based on the 2 months, or the past 2 months, of the U.S. government spending millions of dollars surveying me and MTRX Incorporated employees, including military aircraft, attempting to destroy my house, bugging everything in it, stealing my property, and hacking all my devices, I believe that the worst is likely true.
And Lou, we just interject there, the little program that we are, we happened to write an article that included something about Ralph Barrick and his research at the University of North Carolina, and we misspelled his name. And later we thought, well, we would get our webmaster to correct that name, and in doing that, we lost half of our website. Now, that told us that Ralph Barrick wasn't Mickey Mouse.
That's exactly right.
So this man now has had a lot of turmoil, I believe, a lot of intimidation, threats.
That's right.
Go ahead.
He, and this is talking about the main speaker here. He also later noted that the government hacked him, stole his property, and installed electronic surveillance devices throughout his home. The lengths our government goes to in order to protect its deep state intelligence apparatus are not conducive to maintaining a free, viable, democratic republic.
Yes, and Lou, in a larger sense, we know that the New World Order is not just the CIA, it's not just MI6, it's not just the intelligence of Israel, it's not just Klaus Schwab, at the World Economic Forum. It's the Brotherhood of Darkness that Dr. Stan Monteith, our late friend and mentor, mentioned. So now, worldwide, this is the bombshell breaking. And this, again, is Natural News, January 25th by Ethan Huff. Since COVID first appeared, doctors, scientists, microbiologists have been getting murdered. What's really going on here? There has been a strange uptick in murders among scientists, doctors, and microbiologists ever since the Wuhan coronavirus was first announced by the government. Dr. Andreas Nowak, out of Germany, for instance, was mysteriously offed not long after he publicly discussed the presence of graphene hydroxide in Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed vaccines. In the fall of 2020, Nowak had police break into his home with guns pointed at him simply for doing a video report that challenged the globalist narrative surrounding COVID. Roughly 1 year later, Nowak was found dead inside his home after highlighting the presence of poison inside the jabs. Not long after his death, Nowak's partner put out a video explaining that she believes he was murdered for talking about the nanoscale razor blades. Did you hear that, listeners? The nanoscale razor blades that are contained within Fauci flu shots. The prospect that Nowak was murdered became even more valid after the globalist-backed Politico fake news outlet put out a gatekeeping story not long after that, claiming that Nowak had simply died from a, quote, heart attack. Yet, we all know that the CIA created a heart attack gun that would leave its victims dead of heart attacks completely untraceable, reported Stephen Stanford from All News Pipeline.
Think the globalists wanted to silence anti-vax researchers, especially such as Dr. Andreas Nowak, wouldn't use such a weapon? If you contradict the government, you might end up on a hit list. If Nowak's death was isolated, then maybe one could chalk it all up to chance. The problem is that numerous other vaccine researchers have also turned up dead since the pandemic began. Another one was Domenico Biscardi out of Italy, who had warned just prior to his life ending that he was planning to go to the European courts with evidence of what he found in the so-called vaccines. Just like Nowak, Biscardi died under mysterious circumstances, and his death was blamed on a heart attack. In this article from History of Yesterday, you can read all about the CIA heart attack gun that is a lot more terrifying than it actually sounds. Through my readings of declassified CIA files, I have presented various experiments that the CIA constituted, but never have really focused on information that was blatantly out in the open, such as the top-secret weapon known as a heart attack gun, explains Andrei Topalaga. He went on to say, you can say that the gun looks like a toy at best, especially with that ridiculous scope. But from the descriptions of the American Senator Frank Church, the weapon is scary, to say the least, even to today's standards, unquote. Nowak and Biscardi are just two cases among many, by the way, of prominent researchers and scientific experts who have had their lives terminated early under suspicious circumstances. Investigator Steve Quayle has been documenting this phenomenon for many years because of the sheer number of anomalous deaths among experts in science, medicine, and health who thought outside the box about their fields of expertise.
Yes, Lou, I must interject here.
Yes.
That at the time in the Bush years of the anthrax scares, a lot of microbiologists were found dead. I can remember of Dr. Stan Monteith interviewing Steve Quayle about this. So we have a recurring pattern here. What else?
Remember Dr. Jeff Bradstreet, M.D., who was found in a river with a gunshot wound to his chest? Or how about Dr. Bruce Hedendahl, D.C., Ph.D., who was found dead in his car with no explanation? There was also Dr. Teresa Sievers, a natural health doctor from Florida, who was murdered by a, quote, unknown attacker in an upscale neighborhood that experiences very little crime, unquote. Aaron Elizabeth at Health Nut News compiled a list back in 2016, long before COVID, of 106 holistic doctors and health practitioners who turned up dead. All of them had expressed viewpoints that bucked some official elements of science or medicine. And more related news can be found at this website, twisted.news. And Elizabeth, I think you take over now?
I don't think so.
No, I think you're right. It's my turn.
You have a little bit more of twisted stuff.
I sure do. All right. Talk about sick and twisted. Here's the next reprobate mind, murderous intent. Bioterrorism at the highest levels. U.S. government caught targeting red states with deadlier batches of COVID vaccines. This was Dateline, Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, by Ethan Huff of Natural News. A deep analysis of VAERS, that is, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, data, shows that red states, meaning those that align politically as being more conservative, are getting hit the hardest by Wuhan coronavirus vaccine deaths. And again, vaccine is in quotes. And what appears to be a politically motivated genocide, the powers that be, that is the pharmaceutical industry and big government, are reportedly sending deadlier batches of Fauci flu shots to conservative areas of the country. Blue areas are getting cleaner jabs, while red areas are being sent the more toxic varieties, says Greg Reese from InfoWars. Quote, some red states are seeing 11 times more vaccine deaths than other states, Reese claims. You can watch his video report. And he went on to say, on average, red states are experiencing twice the amount of vaccine deaths and injuries compared with blue states. And then there's a video you can watch if you go to this website from Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.com. Check out HowBadIsMyBatch.com. That's a website, HowBadIsMyBatch.com, to learn more about which COVID vaccine lots are causing the most health problems. Ex-head of respiratory research at Pfizer, Mike Yeadon, and researchers like Craig Pettacooper sourced VAERS data on vaccine death and injury in the United States, which currently shows that more than 700,000 adverse reactions associated with the Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and Janssen, that is Johnson & Johnson, injections.
These jabs were deployed in different batches or lots that show extremely disparate rates of injury and death. Some lots are causing almost no problems, while others are causing many problems. How can this be if all of the jabs are truly the same? Back engineering conducted by Yeadon and Pettacooper uncovered, the fact that not all COVID jab lots are the same. You can learn more about this at HowBadIsMyBatch.com or at HowBadInfo. About 0.5% of all the different batches are highly toxic, resulting in hospitalization, disability, and death within days or weeks of injection, Reese says. Other batches cause minimal adverse reactions, and most appear to be harmless placebos. When plotted on a timeline, we can see that these three companies have been working together to quietly monitor the lethal effectiveness of specific deadly batches. Reese also says that while one company is deploying a lethal batch, the other two are deploying harmless ones. This creates a scientific environment for the genocidal eugenicist to perform dose range finding, or the maximum tolerated dose for each specific batch of injections. The timeline shows that each lethal batch deployment is preceded and followed by a quiet period, allowing them time to establish their baseline before the next deadly batch is deployed, Reese explains. Private leaked documents from the CDC show a list of expiration dates, and only certain lots are included. The very same lots found to be highly toxic in Parada Cooper's database, which makes sense. There would be no reason to list expiration dates for saline placebo, only the deadly ones. The hardest hit state in terms of toxic jab batches appears to be Montana at 11.3 deaths per 100,000. Lou, what percentage is that? That's about, what, 10%?
I think so.
Oh, my word. Followed by Tennessee at 9.1 deaths per 100,000. In third place, however, is Minnesota, a blue state, at 9.0 deaths per 100,000. Analysis of the number of dying per 100,000 vaccinated in 50 states shows us that the overwhelming majority of vaccine deaths are happening in red states, Reese warns. Some red states are experiencing 11 times more vaccine deaths than other states. On average, red states are experiencing twice the amount of vaccine deaths and injuries than blue states. Could it be that the establishment is specifically targeting states with largest populations of people who oppose the Build Back Better? 666, remember how we turn around those little b's, the lowercase b's, turn them around and we have six-illed, six-ack, six-better, Build Back Better, backwards. Of the current regime, is there an effort afoot to exterminate people who oppose the Great Reset? More related news about the government's COVID injection genocide campaign can be found at chemicalviolence.com.
And now we're going to present our latest essay in the form of a dialogue. The title, Country Roads, The Reprobate Mind Continues to Murder and Rampage. This is a dialogue between myself, Lou Cavalli, and Elizabeth Cupid Cavalli.
And it is now posted at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And again, we urge you to go there. Tell your friends. The masses are awakening. There are big protests against the vaccine mandates. So please tell people to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and visit our website under Breaking News to read this.
77 years ago, top American military brass, including Generals Eisenhower and Patton, walked into the literal hell on Earth of places like Dachau. One or more of them vomited at the unimaginable horror of human corpses stacked high like firewood. The feeble skeletons of humanity, still barely alive, hollow-eyed, staring at them, were beyond imagination, proof of the Nazis' murderous insanity. Crosses in most German churches had long since been superseded by, or blasphemously accompanied by, the swastika. Elizabeth and I were almost beyond being shocked. We thought, after having had to endure months of American churches and most pastors' silence, as 5 to 11-year-old innocent tiny children have been sacrificed to the American Moloch COVID-19 aborted fetal cell line murder shots, we'd reached the apex of evil. But it seems there are always more surprises to come. You will find out tonight that even Pope Francis had an important one-on-one high-level meeting with Pfizer's CEO. Well, just as Elizabeth and I thought we were beyond shocked, we found the January 20th interview Stu Peters had with West Virginia mother Michaela Hughes. There is something really evil, it seems, let loose by Satan in that beautiful state that John Denver celebrated in the song with the words, Country Roads, Take Me Home. Home in West Virginia is now Hades, infesting that autumn foliage paradise.
Yes, Lou? Recall, I reported on the Time magazine, July 5th/July 12th, 2021, issue's article entitled, The Home Stretch. Situated in Kanawha County, West Virginia, it was a home stretch, all right. The coercion into Satan's killing machine, the world bioweapons genocide's final lap to get as many adults and children as possible eliminated or injured for life in the next 6 months. The article showed Kanawha's health officials making house calls. Notice, all through our discussion tonight of Kanawha County, we choose to pronounce it the way real people, the precious living humanity of West Virginia, pronounce it, Kanawha. My brother, when living in Morgantown, spoke of visiting the Kanawha State Forest. When I lived there for 1 year, I heard natives, too, talk about Kanawha County. Sadly, here is the condescending tone of local TV station WVNS Channel 59 in discussing the pronunciation. It says, quote, sometimes West Virginians just like to ignore that certain syllables are even there, end of quote. But we, like the natives, insist the river, county, and state forest are all pronounced Kanawha. The article in Time magazine opened with these words, hi, sweetie. Dr. Sherry Young says to the 13-year-old, rolling up her sleeve and giggling nervously, who also happens to be her daughter. Are you ready? Young uncaps a syringe and pokes it into her daughter's waiting arm. It's May 14th, only a few days after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration greenlighted the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for 12 to 15-year-olds, and Young is trying to set an example.
Time magazine informs us that this health officer called for families to come to other West Virginia community health clinics, like this one. There was a drive-thru set up in a church parking lot a few miles outside downtown Charleston.
The Time article showed Dr. Young getting ready to inoculate her Kanawha County Sheriff's security guard, Doug Beasley, assigned to her, as Time says, quote, after threats on health offices around the country during the pandemic.
No T4 euthanasia van, as used in Germany's Hitler era, is needed in this West Virginia globalist guinea pig, West Virginia County. And this is a quote, lead the handicapped to the slaughter operation is working just fine to bamboozle well-meaning parents. Time, July 5th and 12th, 2021, states, quote, Ellison Bungard helps her son Andrew, 13, who has cerebral palsy and factor V Leiden thrombophilia, receive his shot at a vaccine clinic in Charleston. Quote, and oh, the convenience of the jab in your own home. Time shows an octogenarian next. David Campbell plays the harmonica
Excuse
before
me,
the...
Excuse me, Lou.
Yes.
That wasn't a quote there, and oh, the convenience of the jab in your own home.
Oh,
you
okay.
You know, we just thought that. And then this octogenarian, Dana Campbell, what was he doing?
He was playing the harmonica before being vaccinated in his home in Elk View.
I wonder whether Dana Campbell is still on Earth 6 months later,
or is
he a post-COVID clot shot statistic, like all those obituaries I read in the Maryland newspaper, white and black men and women in their 50s to 70s who passed away either peacefully or unexpectedly at home. The most scary picture of all in the Time article was accompanied by this text, Sheridan Quigley of St. Albans is vaccinated at Charleston's Bible Center Church on June 4th.
Elizabeth, we both looked at the close-up of Miss Quigley's face. She was wearing glasses, and what struck us was her look of utter terror. Something about the lighting and the way her one eyebrow was raised accentuated her right eye so that it looked like the veritable all-seeing eye of Horus. Remember, this inoculation to Moloch was done in God's sacred house, Charleston Bible Center Church. No swastika accompanying or replacing the cross here. No, it's the caduceus, the serpent intertwined around the stick. Did these abominable, aborted fetal cell injections in God's church open the portals of hell, emptying Satan's devils into West Virginia?
A good question, Lou. As well as doing the same all over the USA, where churches hosted these clinics. Well, now it seems the Nazi Joseph Mengele days are back again, here, right in Huntingdon, West Virginia's Mercy Hospital.
January 20th, 2022. The Stu Peters Show interviewed heroic West Virginia mother, Michaela Hughes. Stu first gave an update on the case of Scott Kreiner, who had been held hostage and refused efficacious COVID treatments by Minnesota's Mercy Hospital. Legal tactics won so that Scott had now been airlifted to Texas, where the withheld treatments would now be administered. And I have to report, sadly, that Scott Kreiner passed away.
Yes, we heard this very recently. He was put in the care of a Dr. Barone. And Dr. Barone said that he was horrified when he saw Scott, that he was completely malnourished. He had, in all these 30 years, I think, of practice, he had never seen anything like this because he had had everything withheld from him. So it's very, very, a very sad outcome.
And Stu stated that this sort of quiet euthanasia was going on in thousands of hospitals. What is it now? The hospitals get $40,000 per patient put on a ventilator. And is it $100,000 for each ventilator death? The serpent on the stick in America is suddenly becoming an obscenely prosperous T4 medical police state. Hospitals and their Dr. Mengeles are paid off. Still, many good doctors and nurses are appalled and are starting to blow the whistle. Heroic mother Michaela Hughes then began telling her story to Stu. Her 32-year-old son, Charles, a very fit father of four and a paramedic, traveled to St. Mary's Hospital in Huntington, West Virginia, just to get an inhaler for his asthma. But once inside the murder factory masquerading as a hospital, the hospital made him get two COVID tests, both negative. They wouldn't let him go home. We wonder whether this was using bodily restraints and not just words of intimidation. For next, his mother recounts, Charles had a panic attack, possibly just an asthma attack from the stress. As they put him in the ICU, and despite his protests, put him on a ventilator and gave him kidney failure-inducing remdesivir. The mother, Michaela, fought hard for her son. The hospital told her he would only be on the ventilator for 2 days, but more than 52 days had passed. Charles began to decline, with the drugs given to him being suspected of causing a heart attack. The mother was kept away from visiting her son. A patient advocate let it slip that Charles had been double vaccinated for COVID while there. The mother cried, but he was exempt on religious grounds by choice. Stu commented that if this was done against his will, it is a criminal act. The mother demanded to know when these vaccinations occurred. The patient advocate just hemmed and hawed. When Charles tried to pull out the ventilator, doctors increased paralytic or paralyzing drugs. He mouthed the words to his mother, "Out, out." After all of this horror, the original test Charles had requested, the test for bacterial pneumonia, was given. It came back positive.
The mother, Michaela, thinks the covert vaccinations were done to her son while he was on the ventilator. Of course, while he was given remdesivir, Charles was denied ivermectin. The doctor in charge kept telling the hapless mother, "Your son is dying." Dr. Sega Marcy, and we really didn't know how to spell his name, we spelled it rather phonetically, was the doctor treating Charles. One morning he allegedly told Charles, "You won't be going home for 2 to 3 years. You'll be in a nursing home." But by that evening, as pressure grew, Dr. Sega Marcy had released Charles in the care of a Dr. Kahn. Stu Peters commented, "This is savage if they vaccinated him against his will." Another physician who had personally escaped from a communist country said, "This is just like Nazi Germany." Michaela, that courageous West Virginia mother lioness, said, "I think they were trying to kill him. This is sad. People are just commodities. It's going on all over the world." And now, listeners, we do have a happier ending to this story because we have heard an update that Charles is now at home enjoying his four children, getting good food, and he's starting to build back some strength.
Protect your families. Do not go to the hospital unless you must. As Ezekiel 33 commands, Elizabeth and I must warn you of these horrific things that must be stopped. We must pray, repent, and beseech God to stop this killing. And now, we get on with the main part of our program. Country Roads, the reprobate mind, continues to murder and rampage.
And you know, I think that we can see that we're going to run out of time. And we mentioned the meeting with Pope Francis. Do you have that article, or do I?
Well, let me see. Yes, I think I do.
I think we better go to that next.
All right. Yes. This was from LifeSite News, dated Monday, January 17th, 2022, by Michael Haynes. Pope Francis secretly met with abortion-pushing Pfizer CEO twice last year. The full details of the meetings between the two prominent COVID jab promoters remain shrouded in mystery. Dateline Vatican City. It has emerged that Pope Francis secretly met with Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla in two officially unconfirmed meetings during 2021. Writing in the National Catholic Register, Vatican journalist Edward Penton broke the news that in 2021 Pope Francis met twice with Bourla, the CEO and chairman of pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. The meetings took place at the Vatican in a circumstance Penton likened to Pope Francis's secret 2019 meeting with Melinda Gates. The revelation was perhaps no great surprise, given that the Vatican exclusively administers and now mandates Pfizer's abortion-tainted COVID-19 injection for employees. And Pope Francis has been one of the foremost promoters of COVID shots. Penton wrote that the meetings were confirmed by, quote, Vatican sources, unquote, as the meetings were not included in the Vatican's daily announcements, noting also that the topics discussed were still a mystery. LifeSite News contacted both the Vatican's press office and Pfizer for further comment on the meetings, but as yet has received no reply. When Penton queried Pfizer about the meetings, he was told, quote, "We can't confirm or deny, as per our policy, the movements of our executives are considered confidential," unquote. The Holy See press office, quote, "did not respond to repeated requests to confirm the meetings," Penton added. UK author and catechist Deacon Nick Donnelly commented that the revelations explain Pope Francis's persistent promotion of the COVID-19 injections. "Now we know why Bergoglio and Parolin have been such enthusiastic pushers of the Pfizer jab." Pope Francis, and this is, I think, from a tweet by Nick Donnelly, "Francis had secret meeting with the CEO of Pfizer and with Melinda Gates. Wicked, wicked." Pfizer has developed a close link with the Vatican since its abortion-tainted injections have been in use there since January 2021, when Pope Francis and Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI were among the first in the sovereign state to receive one of the injections. At the time, head of the Vatican Health Service, Dr. Andrea Arcangeli, suggested the Vatican would initially be using the Pfizer vaccine, but that others would be administered subject to approval. However, the Vatican's agreement with Pfizer is to only offer the Big Pharma's injection to employees and residents. Bourla later made a public appearance at the Vatican in May 2021, joining a host of abortion supporters at the Vatican's fifth International Health Conference on, and this is its title, Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul. Taking the virtual stage with CNN's Sanjay Gupta, Bourla's discussion dealt with, quote, "The global response to COVID-19 has been accelerated by collaboration and data sharing, research, and epidemiological surveillance. As we reexamine our global health architecture, how do we improve future rapid response and build on the lessons learned around preparedness, new vaccine development and distribution, and importantly, prevention," unquote.
"A global glimpse of that with those monkeys rolling around in the road in Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
Yes, that's right. Pope Francis gave a private audience to the members of the conference. It is not known whether one of his meetings with Borrell occurred at that time. Pfizer's production of abortion pills, along with its production of a COVID-19 injection involving tests using the HEK293 cell line, derived from kidney tissue taken from a healthy baby who was aborted in the Netherlands in the 1970s, has not seemed to deter the pontiff from meeting with Borrell. The link between the Vatican, which solely uses Pfizer's jab, has been further strengthened as the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, recently mandated a COVID jab for Vatican employees and visitors, removing the option to test negative for the virus, and allowing only proof of recovery from the virus as an alternative to the injection. A mandate has been in place for some time in the Vatican for certain employees, resulting in three Swiss guards being sent home to Switzerland after they refused to comply with the mandated shots.
And Pope Francis has also regularly pushed for people to take the COVID shots, with his rhetoric becoming even stronger in recent days when he spoke of the moral obligation of taking the abortion-tainted injections. In August 2021, Francis notably joined a number of cardinals in issuing a public service announcement video saying the shots bring hope of an end to the pandemic, and called receiving the vaccine, quote, an act of love. So you can see here that we've given you a lot of behind-the-scenes vital information, and you can pray now, because all of you listeners of the Divided Kingdom can raise your Christian hearts to Almighty God, and you can repent, as Lou and I do daily, repent and ask Him, plead with Him for America and for the world, for these little children, that this will be stopped everywhere. This will be stopped. And really the world, not just America, will have more time to repent. That beautiful song, Country Roads, Country Roads. You know, I took you down there because I had been there twice. I was there in 1970, and I was there again in 1974, and then I took you in 1981.
Yes.
And you saw the beauty, the grandeur of that state, didn't you?
Oh, I love that. I wish I could go more.
Yes. So, you know, God has led us to this point that we have some hope. People are beginning to resist. People are beginning to wake up. So do pray for us, pray for your families, and pray that God will bring repentance to this country and a renewal. And we love you, and we thank you again for any help you can give us at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Good night.